Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Frank LaBeouf will be here to reflect on a disappointing performance from Arsenal that saw them kicked out of the FA Cup. Ali will be here as well to talk about an impressive win for Real Madrid. We start, though, in Italy, where AC Milan are your winter champions. At the halfway stage in Serie A, they are top of the table, 2 points clear of Inter, despite the fact they lost 3-0 at home against Atalanta. Inter can only manage a 0-0 draw, meanwhile, away against Udinese. And Roma won a 7-goal thriller against Spezia, 4-3, moving them up to third in the table. Let's welcome in, shall we, Stuart Robson to the show. Robbo, let's start with Milan against Atalanta. Talk about impressive. The visitors were brilliant.
They certainly were. They had a difficult first 10 or 15 minutes, but once they start playing their football and they get Ilicic involved, and he kept on coming in off that right-hand side onto his left foot, Zapata led the line brilliantly, Freuler back in midfield, Gosens down one side, Hattibor down the other. The three centre-backs defended really well as I've seen them defend for quite some while. They dominated the game. I mean, Deron in midfield kept on making challenges, and Milan couldn't get it into their front players enough. So Ibrahimovic was out the game for long periods. The young players who were playing in behind him, Lau and Mate and out on the other side, Castillejo, they couldn't get involved in the game. Kessie, for once, wasn't able to dominate midfield. So I thought it was a brilliant performance by Atalanta. And they are the informed team at the moment. And if they're to pick their best side against Udinese and Roma earlier this week and last week, they would be right up with the front runners.
But of course, it is Milan at the moment who are the front runners. It's interesting. Is this them regressing to the mean slightly, Robbo?
Yes, they're a good side, but they're not a great side. You know, when you think you've got Ibrahimovic, who's 39, and he's having to lead the line, the three young players that have played in behind on several different occasions, whoever it is, Diaz came on, I don't think he's going to be quite good enough to take them to the next level. Salamaca's got sent off last week. I don't think he's quite good enough at the moment. Castillejo had a good game in midweek against Cagliari, didn't play quite so well today. Mate making his first full appearance, didn't really impress. So they're a side that can improve, but they've still got some young players that need to improve quickly. And Tonali, I don't think, dominated the midfield, and that's why Kessie had a problem today.
What impressed you in Milan, though, after that defeat, which, let's not forget, was their first domestic defeat against Juventus? They bounced back, didn't they? They got the win against Torino, got the win against Cagliari as well. So after this defeat, Robbo, you would be hoping for the same sort of mentality going forward. Do you think they can get themselves together, they can regroup? Because it's against the smaller teams in which they've picked up those crucial points this season.
Yeah, and I think they need some of their players back. They need Calhanoglu back. They need Rebic, who came on as a substitute. They need him back. They've got Mandzukic now to help out Ibrahimovic if he needs to be swapped at any point. So I think they've got the mentality. Pioli has done a really good job mentally with them. He's a good coach as well. They've got exactly what they're trying to do. But he's also got them on that even keel. So when they do lose games, they don't panic too much. They come back again. So I think they'll certainly put in good performances. But I still don't think they're quite good enough to win Serie A.
And for Inter, meanwhile, of course, missing the chance to go level on points with Milan at the top. After that great performance against Juventus, they just couldn't get it done today, particularly in front of goal, Robert. They had chances.
Yeah, they did, but I thought Udinese defended really well. And that's the problem that Inter are going to have now. Everybody knows how they want to play. They want to get it into the front two and with their backs to goal and other players go and join. And Udinese played with a back three and two of them man-marked Lukaku and Martinez. They had a holding midfield player who sat in front of them. So every time the ball went past him into the front players, he came off the front and tried to win it back. It was all too tight. The one player that had a little bit of freedom was Hakimi down the right-hand side. When they switched play quickly or got it into the front and went wide quickly, he had the chance to pick out passes. And his final ball, a bit like we've seen Alexander-Arnold in recent weeks, his final ball, despite having many, many crosses, wasn't quite good enough. And I didn't think Lukaku and Martinez sort of changed their game enough. They needed to spin in behind every so often so they then could have space in front. So it was a disappointing performance from Inter and a chance that they've missed to go get level with Milan.
Yeah, great opportunity. Meanwhile, for Napoli and Juventus, who as it stands have two games in hand over both the Milan teams, they win those matches and boy, do we have a title race, Robert.
We certainly do. It was a great result. Well, these two games were great for Napoli and for Juventus. And, of course, for Atalanta, who I still say are one of the top teams at the moment. They're playing with, they've got great form. They're opening up any team that they play against. So they're still in the title race. Juventus, I think they'll win against Bologna tomorrow. I think they've got every chance of doing that. And it will be a fascinating second half to the season. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it.
Who would the Robbo riches be on?
I'm still going to go with Inter. I think they're a
Conte
side that...
And you love Conte.
They'll eventually take some of the chances.
It's only because you love Conte, Robbie, that's it.
Of course. Of course, I think he's the best coach. I think he knows what his game plan is. They've just got to start taking some of those chances. And if things aren't quite going right, just vary their play slightly from going into the front to keep switching the play out to their wing-backs. And I think they're the team to beat.
So, Juventus in action on Sunday. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. We'll be reflecting on that game, plus discussing the FA Cup as well. Manchester United against Liverpool, the big match. Stuart Robson on the call for that game.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Plenty of goals in the FA Cup today. We saw Bristol City beat Millwall 3-0, Swansea 5-1 against Nottingham Forest, West Ham beating Doncaster 4-0. Meanwhile, Manchester City having to come from behind to beat Cheltenham Town by 3-1. The big story then, I suppose, Southampton 1, Arsenal 0. Stuart Robson is still with us as we welcome to the show Frank Leboeuf as well. What's wrong with Arsenal? Why was this such a tepid performance from them, Frank?
Well, especially the first half, we have to say, you know, where Mikel Arteta decided to almost change half of the team from the people we normally see on the field. And Southampton played with the A-list team, and they were better. They were much better than Arsenal. They completely deserved to lead the game and score a goal. And he could have scored more if they would have been a little bit more fortunate. But the second half, you know, Arteta started to put some top players, like we saw Lacazette coming in and some others, Partey as well, and he changed the game dramatically, but maybe too late. Southampton went down physically. Arsenal seems to be better for the last 30 minutes. But it wasn't enough to create chances to defend their title from last season. So it wasn't a good performance. It was wrong choices, I think, from Mikel Arteta if he decided to take that competition seriously. Maybe he wants to do better in the Premier League. It's why he wanted to rest some players.
To that point, Robbo, Arsenal, they're not going to get in the top four. So why make so many changes to prioritise the Premier League? Obviously, I know they've got a match midweek, but have a good cup run. You know, it really helped you last year. Why would you make so many changes going into this clash today?
Yeah, I don't quite understand it, because it does give you that momentum. And Arsenal had a good 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. They're having a terrible time. They've had a good run. Why try and change things? This was a game that they should have been trying to win. They should be trying to win the FA Cup. As you said, they're not going to go down. They're not going to get in the top four at the moment. Yes, they've got the Europa League still to go for, but this was a game I thought they had to win. And I think it just shows how good Saka and Smith Rowe have been in recent weeks. They've been the two players that have really made things happen for Arsenal. And Smith Rowe wasn't playing and Saka came on as a sub. And I think they really missed them. We're talking about, Frank was talking about Lacazette and Aubameyang, but obviously didn't play. But I think they're the two players that have taken Arsenal from that level to that little bit higher level in recent weeks.
So Arsenal out. The matches, of course, continue on Sunday. And it starts with what is becoming more and more an intriguing tie. Chelsea in action. They're at home against Luton Town. I'm just wondering, Robbo, what you make of what's been going on at Chelsea over the last few weeks.
It's been disappointing from a Chelsea fan point of view. It's been disappointing for Frank Lampard. He's not been able to get the best out of his players. I think he's struggled to find the right formation, the right team. The team aren't playing very well. But then he's starting to have a go back at the press, and that's never a good idea. I think he's a manager or a coach that's got to be given time, because when you employ a fairly inexperienced manager who's very young, that you're not getting a manager to take them to the very top straight away. He's got to learn along with some of the players, but he's got to learn quickly, otherwise his job would be in trouble. He's got to start getting the best out of the players, and it's no good fighting the press. That's only going to cause him problems.
Well, this is off the back of the comments that he made claiming confirmation bias, basically, that negative press kind of sells papers, gets people clicking on the articles, but that's part and part. That's happened all across football forever, hasn't it, Frank?
Yes, of course. And as Stu said, you know, you shouldn't fight with the press because you're going to be beaten at the end of the day. And this is a normal process. You know, Frank has been, I think, protected last season because they couldn't hire any player, recruit any good players. And he did pretty well with all the players. But now we want on him to justify, you know, the 200 million spent to get better players who have a hard time to adapt to the Premier League. So, of course, we're going to go into his nerves, but we have to, because we want something to be changed. We want something to be nicer, and we want results, because I think the fans deserve a result. And so, of course, we have to make sure that we find the responsibility of everybody. Frank responsibilities, but the players too, and maybe the fact that we are going through a pandemic, and we can see that other teams are struggling, and I'm talking about Liverpool, for example. So we have to see the whole picture to analyze everything, but we have to be frank. We have to say what we see, and what we see, as Stu said, from Chelsea is disappointing.
So Robbo, how do you fix what's going on? Because what's striking every time you watch Chelsea play is that it's basically 11 individuals running around. There doesn't seem to be any cohesion, no real plan in place, certainly when you compare it to Leicester City, which we, of course, did this week. So how do you fix that from Lampard's point of view?
Well, as a coach, you have to stick with what you think is right and then try and improve what you think is right. Not keep changing from one sort of tactic to another tactic and then try and change the players quickly and I'll drop him and put him in, because then you get no consistency, you get no continuity. You've got to trust what you're trying to do and work at it day in, day out on the training field, and you will get better. And at the moment, what I'm seeing is he's asking too much of his fullbacks. They're only playing with a back two, and that's changing quite often. It was Rudiger and Thiago Silva the other night. And he's asking James to get forward and be a great attacking player, but he's also asking him to be a good defensive player and get round on the cover, which he hasn't got the energy. You're never going to be able to do two jobs. And he's asking the same of Chilwell down the other side. So he's either got to get a good combination at the centre-half positions, or play with the back three, or get one of the midfield players just to drop that little bit deeper to fill those spaces. He's asking too much of his fullbacks at the moment.
And the thing is, you're playing a team that's from lower tier, Frank. Luton Town will go there with absolutely nothing to lose. And as this game goes on, if Chelsea don't make the breakthrough, the pressure will be palpable.
Yes, exactly. You have Chelsea has everything to lose about that game and that tie. And Frank knows very well Luton because he played against them when he was in charge of Derby, and he knows how good they are and the trouble that he is facing ahead with that game. So it's not going to be easy. They can make it easy if they score very quickly, and Luton will have to open up, and maybe they're going to be punished very very often by Chelsea. But as long as Chelsea doesn't score the first goal, they're going to start wondering, you know, if they're not going to be trapped at some point. That's going to be the tie. Yeah, again, I played so many games like that where, you know, you have everything to lose. You just want to play that game. You don't care about how you played, the way you played. The only thing is you want to score one goal, make sure you win, you go home and you think about the next game.
We'll, of course, be discussing that game on the next edition of the show. Maybe saying, well, why aren't you looking ahead to Manchester United against Liverpool? We did that a lot. You can check that out over on our YouTube channel. Plus, extra time is there. These two fine gentlemen will be answering your questions.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
It's not very often I've got to say this this season, but a comfortable win for Real Madrid. Much needed, of course, after that Copa del Rey embarrassment, but beating Alaves by 4-1. Ali Moreno joins us. Ali, Alaves not very good, Real Madrid good, and let's focus, shall we, on Eden Hazard. Nice goal, nice assist to set up Karim Benzema. I know it's quite a small sample size, but certainly one of his better games for Real Madrid.
Yes, and that's the good news. The fact that you had Eden Hazard playing a pivotal role and a critical role in their attack. And to me, he's doing it in a way that I don't think is the best position for Eden Hazard. And I think it shows some of the limitations that he has physically right now, where he's not so concerned about taking people in 1v1 situations as we once saw with Chelsea. This is a different version of Hazard in which he goes more into a central position and he looks to combine with Karim Benzema. Now, today he looked great. And the second goal where Eden Hazard pops in underneath the striker and kind of lets it go with a little back heel action, finding Benzema, and then Benzema on the turn is able to find the finish. And you're thinking, okay, if this can work in such a manner and with such consistency, then we are talking about something that works very well for Real Madrid. The problem is that Real Madrid doesn't play against Alaves every weekend. Yeah. And Alaves is a team that was coming into this match, well, 3 games in a row, they've lost, and they cannot defend very well. And what you saw is that those spaces that Eden Hazard was finding in the middle against better teams, against better opposition, against better teams defensively, he's going to get crowded out. And so what you're going to see from him is a guy that is more than content in just playing 1 and 2 touches. However, the most, I think, optimistic Real Madrid fan would be very, very happy about the fact that today we saw Eden Hazard running in behind.
Yep.
Running in behind for his goal, in which he sees the space, he attacks the space, it's a great ball over the top from Toni Kroos, and when you see Eden Hazard with a little change of pace, a little change of speed, take the ball down and finish the chance, then you say, okay, all right, good combination with Karim Benzema, now he's running in behind, you add that to his game, and then Real Madrid becomes a lot more dangerous in the attack.
And once again, though, we see, despite the fact we're talking about Eden Hazard, how important Karim Benzema is to this side. You feel if they can do anything this season, Benzema needs to stay fit?
Absolutely. Without Benzema, I don't care how good Eden Hazard is or isn't, this team does not move forward with any sort of efficiency or effectiveness. And it was 3-1 in the second half, and the game was sort of turning a little bit. And while Alaves are not very good, it felt a little uncomfortable for Real Madrid. Beautiful ball over the top by Luka Modric, which we saw a couple of times today. I thought Luka Modric was excellent today and has been excellent really for the last month or so. And then Karim Benzema, who drifted to the left-hand side in that particular play, goes and takes a defender on, cuts to the inside, and then finishes to the far post. Game over, no more drama, nothing to see here. See you guys later. 3 points, and 3 points that were needed, a performance that was needed. And you want to see more of this from Real Madrid. Here's the thing. It was a necessary performance. Necessary because, well, it's not only the Alcoyano defeat in Copa del Rey. It's the fact that they tied Osasuna in La Liga. It's the fact that they got eliminated by Athletic Bilbao in Supercopa de España. Then Alcoyano in Copa del Rey, and now you needed something. And there was something. This team was better today. But let's not forget and let's not ignore the opposition. Alaves were not very good. Real Madrid were good. And then in the middle of all of that, you find Eden Hazard playing well. And Karim Benzema exceptionally well. Real Madrid wins it comfortably 4-1.
Ali Moreno, as always, thank you very much for your thoughts. More action in La Liga on Sunday. You'll see Barcelona take on Elche. Meanwhile, Atletico Madrid have the chance to stretch their lead to 7 points once again at the top of the table as they play host to Valencia. Meanwhile, in Germany, a great day for Bayern Munich, and they didn't even play because they saw their title rivals Leipzig lose by 3-2 to bottom of the table Mainz. Meanwhile, Bayer Leverkusen also picking up 0 points. They lost at home against Wolfsburg. Well, let's welcome Casey Keller into the show now. Casey, what the heck happened to Leipzig?
They forgot how to defend set pieces. I mean, basically, it was really a case where Mainz, I thought, battled well. Obviously, Leipzig were the better side. They had more of the ball. They created more of the chances, but they just couldn't see it out. When Tyler Adams scored off of the rebound, off of the crossbar bar for the first goal, you thought, okay, this is it. Leipzig are just going to cruise this. And then for some reason, Leipzig just decided to stop defending off of set pieces. And Mainz really only created a handful of chances, but they were opportunities that they just couldn't pass up. And I really felt when Mainz battled for the 1-1 draw against Dortmund last weekend that maybe that was a turning point. But then Wolfsburg comfortably saw them out 2-0 midweek. But Bo Svensson has this Mainz team believing, and for some reason, nobody wants to challenge Bayern Munich. Just when you think that Leipzig have turned the corner, a huge disappointment this weekend, and it really looks like Bayern are just going to walk with the title once again.
Defensively, obviously that vulnerability at the back, as you say, every set piece it looked like Mainz were going to score from. But then going forward as well, Leipzig didn't offer anything.
Oh, particularly second half.
Yeah.
You really expected a response after going 3-2 down early in the second half. And you thought, okay, here comes the potent attack that we know Leipzig can muster. And look, give Mainz some credit. They frustrated them, but you expect more from Leipzig. It's a side that I think, what did they say in the last three matches against Mainz? They'd scored 16 goals, beat them 8-0. So, I mean, it's a case where Mainz, battled back, frustrated Leipzig, and Leipzig didn't have a response. Very surprising.
You touched on it. It's a bit rubbish for the league, unfortunately, that once again we see Bayern Munich in control. They didn't have to play with Bayer Leverkusen dropping points as well against a Wolfsburg side who are very pragmatic, aren't they? They get it done.
Well, the first 10 minutes, it really looked like Leverkusen were up for it and they were going to make things difficult. Just missed, hit the post. And then for whatever reason, they just stopped playing. And give Wolfsburg again a lot of credit. You said a very pragmatic side. They got their goal and then they defended extremely well. John Brooks again had a very good game. Lacroix, his center back partner as well, played very well, and they just frustrated, which we know can again be a very explosive Leverkusen side. Bailey was non-existent. Diaby tried, but it wasn't there. Florian Wirtz, another 17-year-old, very talented midfielder for Leverkusen, really, wasn't in the match. Give Wolfsburg a lot of credit. You look at the two hottest teams right now in the Bundesliga, it's Wolfsburg and Gladbach, but they just didn't do enough in that first half of the season to really string together enough to get themselves close enough to Bayern Munich to challenge, because I just don't see at 9 points, 10 points with a game in hand that Bayern is going to let that go.
So confirmation then, Bayern in action on Sunday have the chance to stretch their lead to 7 points at the top of the table as they take on struggling Schalke. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Remember, Manchester United against Liverpool live on ESPN+. For now, though, we'll leave you with Extra Time. Stuart Robson and Frank LaBeouf answering your questions. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Stuart Robson and Frank LaBeouf here to answer your questions. Frank, the first one of many that we had with a similar theme. How did you celebrate your birthday and what was the best gift that you received? Friday, of course, how old did you turn, Frank?
I turned 53.
53? Oh, so you can play this at home, ladies and gentlemen. Is Robbo older or younger than Frank? Robbo?
Oh, easy answer. Easy.
Do you want me to answer the question for them? I'm older than Frank, as you would probably well know.
Oh, not necessarily, Robbo, although you have aged. You've lived more of a haggard life than Frank.
Maybe.
What was the best present you received, Frank?
Well, we were only the two of us, my wife and I, you know, because you have to know that my ex-wife was born same day as me.
Oh, here we
go.
So
the thing is, my kids were celebrating the birthday with my ex-wife.
Right.
And therefore, we had a tête-à-tête like Christmas, and we had oysters, and she offered me a beautiful coat, and I'm very looking forward to wearing it.
Beautiful.
Because I look like handsome.
Oh,
yes,
no.
Very happy.
Should we get into why your kids prefer spending time with your ex-wife than you, or should we move on? I think we'll move on. I don't really need that.
No answer. We may move on.
You kept reposting everyone on Instagram as well, wishing you happy birthday. I hate it when people do that, Frank.
I'm just nice to people, you know.
Look at me, it's my birthday. Everybody must say congratulations to me. And if you haven't seen it's my birthday, I'll hammer it home.
Okay, whatever you want to say.
It's what's happened to your humility, Frank?
It's my humility, you know what? People are very nice to wish me happy birthday. I answer to all of them. Well, like 400, you know, posts or texts or whatever it was. And I wanted to be nice, so I say thank you to everybody.
Oh, no, so your internet's getting hits now. Can Manchester City keep their run going without Kevin De Bruyne in the lineup, Robbo? Where will their chances and goals come from?
I think they can still stay on this run, even with Kevin De Bruyne. They've done it before. Kevin De Bruyne is a massive loss for them. But they've got Bernardo Silva, Mahrez when he's playing at his very best. Gundogan's playing really well at the moment. They might have Aguero back. So I think, yes, they're not as good without Kevin De Bruyne, but there'll still be a challenge come the end of the season. They're still going to have a good run in the FA Cup. They're still going to be a very good side. And I think they'll win at least a couple of things come the end of the season.
Let's see if Frank is back with us. There he is. Perfect. Frank.
Yes.
Have you ever got publicly criticised by your teammates like how Marco Reus did to his Dortmund teammates? This, of course, after that defeat, he came out and said, our defenders are always making the same mistakes.
No, I never. I could have said, you know, after the game, we were bad. You know, everybody has to think about what they did, and maybe we have to work on that. But I would never name a line, never name a player. No, I would have never done that, you know, to my teammates. I think if we have something to say, you say it in a dressing room, but you don't go public for that. You know, it's quite of a shame.
Yeah, it's weird, especially as Marco Reus missed the penalty, of course, that could have given them the win last week. I don't think any of the defenders came out and said he's useless at penalties.
Well, you know what? That's the thing. And when you're a striker, especially a striker, you have to count on your defenders. You know, it makes me feel about, makes me think, sorry, about that movie, Any Given Sunday, where the front line, if they open up, you know, the quarterback's going to be smashed.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Reus is looking for. If the defender don't want to give him the ball, statistically, he won't get any goals because he won't get any ball.
Robbo? Have you ever got publicly criticised? Oh, you probably publicly criticised. I imagine many, many people.
Yes, when I was playing for Arsenal, with Tony Woodcock, who I thought was a good striker, but we had our arguments. And then, while he was still at the club, he wrote a book and said I was too headstrong and I got in his way and I was taking his space and I was one of the reasons he wasn't getting in the England squad because I was getting all the praise and he was not getting the limelight that he wanted. So that didn't go down too well with me and one or two others.
Robert, there seems to be a recurring theme throughout your career of you falling out with people.
No. I only fall out with about 90% of the people that I played with or was coached by. That's not everybody.
Is it because...
I would say, Dan, 90% of the coaches loved me, 10% hated me with a passion.
And what about teammates? How would that percentage mix up? I don't think it'd be that up to 90.
Oh, 10% liked me and the other 90% didn't. I was a man apart. I came from a different background to most of the players. I thought that most of them weren't intelligent enough for me.
This is it, because you went to a public school, which in England is you have to pay for. It's a posh school, yes, which is very rare for
it
footballers
to go. I was
to
joking when I said that, by the way.
No, Robert, that's it. It's an insight. It's Freudian. That's it. Okay. If you guys were playing nowadays, what kind of tactical approach would you prefer your team to be playing in? A Klopp gegenpressing style, a Pep tiki-taka philosophy, a pragmatic counter-attacking Mourinho system, or any other style of play? What would you like, Robbo, out of that smorgasbord
of
tactics?
Well, for my style of football, I'd love to play for Liverpool because I thought you had to affect the game, you had to be dynamic. I wanted to do both things in midfield. I wanted to close the ball down, I wanted to be good on the ball, I wanted to make forward runs. And you could do that in a Klopp team from any one of those three, well, not maybe the holding midfield player, but the two other midfield positions that Wijnaldum plays in, and it was Shaqiri the other night, but it's usually Henderson. So that's the team I would want to play for.
Frank?
I would have loved to play for Liverpool, even if it's it's question of period as well. You know, when like 10 years ago, I would have loved to play like Barcelona, tiki-taka in a way, because as a defender, you almost don't defend because they do all the job at front, you know, to press the opponent, and you get the ball back. So therefore, you don't make any too much effort. You can help out your forwards and just focus on giving good balls to your teammates. Liverpool, it's kind of same way, except that it's more vertical. But the more interesting for a defender, because you know everybody's going to defend, is the Tottenham way. Yeah. Where you're going to be supported by your own 10 teammates as well, and it's very interesting as a defender. But in terms of what I like in football, no, I don't want to play that kind of football.
I know it's your job, Dan. I know it's your job to be the presenter. But can I ask Frank, would he have liked to play in the Bundesliga many, many years ago when they played with an out-and-out sweeper, two markers and an out-and-out sweeper, and the sweeper came out with the ball and hit 50 yards like Franz Beckenbauer? Surely that's the player that Frank was like, Franz Beckenbauer.
Oh, yeah, well, he was my idol, and I really tried to copy what he was doing. But I loved when we play against Liverpool, for example, in my days with Chelsea, we played with Albert Ferrer, you know, marking Michael Owen because he was fast as well, and I was playing as a sweeper. And most of the time, you just think about covering, so you have to be smart enough to compensate. To anticipate, but it's true, you don't mark anybody, and it's a very interesting game because you lead the game, and when you have the ball, you're the first to start the action. So, and I was playing like a quarterback, so it was very, very interesting. I love that way of playing as a real sweeper. Doesn't exist anymore. We can see some, like Van Dijk. I think he's more a sweeper, like a real center half, and some others are like that. But I love that game. I would have loved to play in Germany, by the way.
Did you ever get any offers, Frank?
Yes, just a year before signing for Chelsea, or 2 years before, I almost signed for Dortmund. And the problem is, we're talking about who coaches who liked us or hated us. And my coach in Strasbourg hated me, and he played with... I don't remember the name of the coach. I think it was Hitzfeld. He played with Hitzfeld, I think, during his career in Germany for Stuttgart. And when Hitzfeld called him to say, I want Frank, he said, no, don't take him. Don't take him. He's a trouble guy.
Trouble
so
maker.
Don't take him. So, and they took Julius Caesar, and they won the Champions League the year after.
Wow. Did you ever get a chance to go, did you have any offers to go abroad, Robbo? Or just everyone thought you were too posh and arrogant?
No, at that time, not many English players were going abroad. I think the only players that were abroad were Liam Brady, who had just left Arsenal as I started at Arsenal. Rush went out there and didn't do particularly well. Ray Wilkins went to Milan. So not too many players were going abroad at that time.
Keegan went before.
Of course, there was also the ban on
Keegan
European football.
To Germany.
So we didn't play much in Europe.
Yeah, Keegan went, didn't he? Did a good job, Robbo.
Keegan, yeah, Kevin Keegan.
Yeah.
He was top quality.
Oh, here you are, that through gritted teeth. What's the worst advice that you ever received from a former teammate and or coach? Shaka always says that the players used to say to him before a match, we could really do with a clean sheet, as if that was going to make any sort of difference to him going out. Robbo, worst piece of advice?
Anything that Bobby Gould said, that was the worst piece of advice. He was the worst coach and manager that I ever played under, and he knows exactly what I mean. I didn't really get on with him. When I talked about the 10% that hated me, he said, I think it was in his book, that I was the hardest player to coach or manage because I never did what he wanted me to do.
Again,
that's about right.
Again, the recurring theme of you being pig-headed. Frank, what's the worst advice you got?
No, nothing much. I remember. I remember Ranieri asking me to trust him if I wanted to be a good player. And I was already 32, and I won almost everything.
Right.
And I started to go down. So, yeah. But it was just as a joke because he was a fantastic person.
Arrogance
so,
again.
But no, nobody.
Okay, final question. Hi Dan, I'd like to know if the guys were in their early to mid 20s and playing now, which player from their era would they want to be on the team with them?
Oh. How many players we can get?
You can have one, Frank. Would that be Zinedine Zidane?
Oh, no. I will play with Sergio Ramos. I will be with him.
Oh, I see. Is that... No, which player from their era?
Oh, there?
Yeah.
Oh, there? Oh, yeah, sorry. So, from their era. Oh, OK.
Oh. I'd have liked to have played with Glenn Hoddle because... Glenn Hoddle was a great passer of the ball, and it would have allowed me to make forward runs and be energetic and go and close people down. And he could have been the playmaker, spreading the ball from one side of the field to the other. That would have been a good combination.
How long until you would annoy him, Robbo?
I annoyed him when I played against him. I enjoyed playing against Glenn Hoddle because he didn't work hard enough for his space. He was a great footballer.
Right.
But I always felt as though you could close him down, win the ball off him, and then go and attack, and you could run off the back of him. And he got booked twice for lashing out at me. So, I annoyed him several times.
Standard. Frank?
I will go with Emmanuel Petit or Patrick Vieira.
Nice.
Yeah. Because we can see that with Chelsea, Chelsea is struggling because they don't have a strong guy in the middle of the park because Kante is injured and or not to the same level. We see Paris Saint-Germain struggling for like five, six years, trying to find somebody in the middle of the park who can get the ball back. Patrick Vieira, Emmanuel Petit, masterpieces, fantastic players, and in front of me, easy for me.
Perfect. Nice one, guys. Thank you very much, as always, for answering your questions. Thank you for sending them in. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.